O na mi na o
mi na
o mi na
na
o
mi
na
we
na na we o mi
na we
o
mi na
o mi na
na na we
o mi
o
na we
na
we
na
we na we
na
na
we
o
we
na mi na. Yep, cures hiccups. There is a cure.
But Big Pharma doesn't want you to know.
Yeah.
Hello there, and welcome to the High Ground, a Doof bonus content show where we're adventuring into the DreamWorks Shrek franchise. Why is it called the High Ground? Nobody knows. And every time I try to explain this show to somebody, it just takes ages to get past that point. I'm your tortured gingerbread host, Ruben Morehouse.
And I'm your swampy ogre host, Smelly at Diebold.
Donkey! A little voice crack there.
But that's authentic to the donkey experience. We are here not to talk about Donkey, who doesn't feature in this movie. We're here to talk about Puss in Boots, the spin-off that nobody really wanted or expected, but we all enjoyed. What do we all think of this one?
I put this one solidly in the middle of like Shrek's 1 and 2, which are very high, and Shrek's 3 and 4, which are not as high. It's between those two groupings.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that.
I agree. I really expected to dislike this movie.
Yeah.
As I was sitting down to watch it, I wrote in my notes, I know I'm going to hate this movie. And I didn't.
So, I did see that you wrote that.
Yeah. I mean, that just kind of makes me really think maybe I should have a more open mind for Shrek spin-off films.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the Donkey trilogy.
I was just reading about the they're doing a Sonic the Hedgehog cinematic universe.
Yes.
Like so as well as just like doing a third, like because you know the sequel comes out in a couple of months.
Yeah. Mm.
They've already greenlit a third movie. Plus, they're doing a Knuckles spin-off series for Paramount Plus,
which TV, you know,
just like Peacemaker on HBO Max, basically.
Which is a great show. So maybe Knuckles will be the Peacemaker of the Sonic universe.
Why not? I don't know what Peacemaker is, so why not?
Sure, watch it, Georgia.
It's really good. That's not what we're here to talk about.
You all a question, though. Is this movie meant to be before or after Shrek? I really cannot figure it out.
I was also wondering that. I assumed before.
But then,
where's Kitty?
And also, at the end of this film, Puss in Boots is like effectively a hero. And then what, he just goes back to being a criminal assassin? I don't really understand that. It doesn't make sense.
This is true. Yeah, and that was what got me stuck to. I was like, I feel like he had all this character growth in this film that isn't really accurate to his character in Shrek. So maybe Shrek is like actually between like in the years where he was on the run.
But then why does this movie exist? Why, like,
because he's not like a loner. He's like hanging out with Shrek, and maybe what is Puss in Boots' lifespan? Has he outlived Shrek and Donkey?
He's got nine lives.
Yeah, this is actually life number 5, and Shrek and Donkey are like life number 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like far in the future. We're like 400 years post Shrek at this point.
Everyone else from the village is still alive, though. His mom, like all the humans, they're fine.
Oh, yeah, true.
They also have 9 lives, maybe.
That's actually the thing about San Ricardo.
Yeah. Is it, they're all Tuck Everlastings.
They've all been blessed with 9 lives.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of the problem with like prequels and stuff is like you really are hamstrung into needing to have your characters be a certain way. And I guess sometimes it's easier to just not worry about it.
I also like this one more than any of the actual Shrek movies. I think this is like kind of designed to be more of a kids spin-off.
Mm.
Yeah, agreed.
It's kind of like.
Yeah, you say that, but it's a very horny movie.
Exactly,
like,
right.
So horny. And like some Boots inappropriate dark jokes.
He is such a horn dog of a character.
He wasn't that horny in Shrek, like a little bit, but not like this.
He's but what like about like, next like level Pepe Le Pew, like, you know, like that's just that's just kid shit. It's like some of it's just really inappropriate. I don't know.
Maybe.
I feel like we have, as a society, have gotten past Pepe Le Pew levels, though.
You would... Oh, yeah.
Pepe Le Pew. I forgot
He's
about
an exaggerated example, but like I'm just...
Full example.
I think he brings up a pretty good example of how kid's shit can still be too horny. Yeah.
Way too horny. Yeah.
But I see what you mean in that, like, aside from it being really horny and also one particularly dark scene, I would say that this feels very much a kid's movie.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it had that layer of, like, Shrek and stuff actually dealt with quite mature themes. This one, I think, in concept, is actually a lot simpler. It is just telling a sort of much more by the book, kid-friendly story.
Kind
at
of
the end
adventure
of the day.
Story, yeah. Quite simple.
And so that's probably just why, like, the Puss in Boots character arc doesn't really fit in with the movies, just because this movie wasn't doing anything complex enough for it. To be allowed to do that.
Having said that, I was like, I don't know whether it's because of my like mood or because I was tired or something, but like I was surprisingly emotionally invested in this film.
Yeah.
Like I actually at the end I was like really feeling for the characters. I was like, I did not expect this. I really did not expect to feel that invested.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, like Pirates is a great comparison here because what is it? Pirates 4 is the one that has Selma Hayek in it. Is that right?
I was trying to remember before if that was 3 or 4, and I couldn't honestly remember.
I thought it was 5.
Maybe it's 5. God knows. But
oh, yeah, there was 5.
But the thing is, like...
Cut the last one.
Selma Hayek in the Pirates movie that she's in, whichever one it is, nobody knows, is like... kind of just like this weird offshoot character that never really feels very compelling and you never really feel like you have any actual attachment to. But in this film, she's kind of doing a very similar role narratively to the one in the Pirates film, but just is much more like emotionally compelling in a very strange way. And I think that applies to all the characters in this movie. Like, you don't feel like you should be emotionally invested in characters in the Puss in Boots spin-off movie. Like, it's ridiculous. But, you know, there's a backstory sequence that we'll get to eventually that I was, like, really feeling the betrayal that it's about. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It worked on me in a way that it really shouldn't have.
Yeah, I agree. This movie's actually quite good at setting up very personal stakes, which actually, like, hit you.
Can I just... Selma Hayek, I don't think, was in...
No. She wasn't. Pirates. It was Penelope
Cruz.
Well,
that was Penelope Cruz,
oh, it's
wasn't
Penelope
it?
Cruz. Oh, my mistake.
Just had to point that out. I'm sorry.
I just kind of went with it because I was like, I know it's not Penelope Cruz's character, but I think there was the same sort of character in Pirates 5.
It was the same sort of character, and I wasn't sure if you were just pointing
Penelope
that out.
Penelope Cruz. My mistake. Yeah. I guess that just shows how little of an impact. I swear, man, I'm picturing Selma Hayek in all those scenes right now. Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely Penelope Cruz. There you go. There you go. More fool me. Hey, can all the cats talk? Did anyone else find it weird that Puss in Boots has sex with cats that can't talk?
Yeah.
When does that happen?
The cat at the start, but she gives like a sort of human voice sigh.
And that was so weird.
And like most of the other cats don't talk. And also Puss makes sexy eyes at humans who like blush. It's all very weird and confusing.
But also Puss and Kitty Softpaws do make like very cat-esque noises, like yowls and stuff often. So I really don't know what the rules are, but it seems like some of the cats don't talk and it just is very weird to me.
And I think that's in Shrek as well, isn't there? A bit where he's like talking to a cat that's just like meow.
Yes. Yes. God, weird.
It's really unclear. Some cats are like blessed with sentience and others aren't, I suppose.
I mean, it's a fairy tale world, right? Like donkey talks.
Not every donkey talks probably.
Yeah.
What if every donkey talks in the Shrek universe and they all sound exactly like donkeys?
Well, that's why he's the only one left.
So if some cats are like sentient, like Puss and Kitty, and then others aren't, like morally having sex with the cats can't consent is what is troubling me. I think
that's the point Ruben was bringing up when he raised this. Yeah, absolutely.
It's disturbing me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
That's why it's so uncomfortable. Yeah, I hadn't identified that that's what made me uncomfortable about it. It is weird. So, yes, I agree. It is weird.
Should we get into it? Should we start talking about the plot of this film?
Yeah.
So we're following Puss in Boots. Puss in Boots is an outlaw looking for refuge who eventually finds out about a score. Jack and Jill have some magic beans. And, okay, also, Jack goes up the beanstalk. That is a different Jack to the Jack from Jack and Jill, right?
Yeah, or
is
we
that
the see, same and Jack? We see both Jacks. Because remember, we do see the other Jack at the end of the film. Yes, in the prison.
He's the guy in the prison.
Oh, of course.
The crazy old man. So they've just put two Jacks in.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
There's other like nursery rhymes with Jacks in them too. I think it was like the go-to name. So Jack Sprat. I kind of support things like this where they like merge Jacks from fairy tales, even though it turns out they didn't do that.
I support what they could have done but didn't do.
I support what they tricked us into thinking they were doing.
Comment. Yeah. I can't believe that we've skipped over discussing the opening with all stating all of his like alternate names, which are just completely ridiculous. Mm. And my favorite was he's like El Chupacabra. And then he just the line after he's like had sex with this questionable interaction with this non-speaking maybe cat, he just goes, "What can I say? I was a bad kitty," and it just really got me. It's a stupid line.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's so cute.
I think that's touching on what actually makes this movie better than Shrek's 3 and 4 is you can tell they're just really having fun again. Like,
yeah,
Shrek's 3 and 4 started to feel kind of obligatory and like they were struggling to figure out what they wanted to do, whereas like this is a great spin-off because this is just literally like, hey, what if we kind of did the same thing but with a side character, and also now it's like a swashbuckling bandito heist movie. And I think that change of setting and focus of a character just really reinvigorated the passion behind of the people behind the scenes, and that like came through because like lines like that just have so much more wit and funniness to them than most of the stuff from Shrek 3 and 4.
Because he's just such a silly character. Like, he's a little cat and he's wearing boots and a hat. Like, it's just, you can't go wrong.
And that's really all there is to the character. And it just works.
It's so good.
Yeah, about 50, more than 50% of the jokes in this film are Kitty and Puss are cats now. Like, the alternating between them being like badass banditos and then just like stupid little cats is a huge chunk of the humor in this film, and it works every fucking time.
Yeah.
To point that out, there's a moment where Puss orders a glass of milk and then at the bar and kind of holds it up to his mouth and then just does it like thing with the tongue, and it's very funny.
I had to pause because I was laughing so much. I was like, it's just like they've obviously gotten footage of cats drinking and like you know made sure that the animation was just like dead on. Because exactly this how is also, kitties drink.
This is the scene, like that same bar scene, that's where he starts getting the details on the magic beans. And I'm specifically bringing that up because there's also a dude in this bar who has the tail of the beans tattooed on his body.
Yeah, on escalatingly risque parts of his body.
Yeah. But not only was that just a funny joke, the twist at the end of the film actually makes it make even more sense because you spoilers, we find out that the whole town was in on it with Humpty. So, like this dude was part of selling Puss on the heist. But it's still kind of crazy that he just agreed to have not the actual tale of the magic beans, but specifically the tale of Jack and Jill currently have the magic beans tattooed on his body.
That was very good.
I couldn't tell if it was like a reference to something or what, but it was so funny. Like the first time you're kind of like, oh, that's weird. And then the second time you're like, oh, he's got another one. And then the third time you're like starting to laugh. And then the fourth time
I mean, could it be a really, really loose prison break joke? I mean, not really.
Yeah, it's the context doesn't fit, but yeah, that's what I was trying to think. I was like, is this like from something? Because you know how Shrek especially, like all these things that you didn't get as a kid and then you rewatch it and you're like, oh, that's a reference. I think it's just random, but
the only like Shrek-like reference I really noticed in this film was when they came up with the first rule of Bean Club.
Yes. That was not a good joke. It really
It was one of the worst jokes.
And that's the thing. It was like the only, like, really sort of on the nose pop culture reference that I could remember. And I was like, I'm glad that they didn't do any more of them if that's the quality they were bringing for this one.
Yeah.
I think this movie did much better when it stuck in its lane of swashbuckling heist.
Cat humor.
Yeah.
Kitty cats doing kitty cat things.
I think the contrast is really important there. Like, I think the cat humor in part works so well because it's so ridiculous and domestic compared to, like, the swashbuckling action of them stealing beans and then planting them and riding the beanstalk to the sky. Like, it's constantly flickering between those two things that makes all those jokes continue to work.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, Puss goes to steal the magic beans but runs into Kitty Softpaws, a rival thief. So he chases her and runs into somebody from his past, Humpty Dumpty.
So a scene that I want to bring up that fits in this sort of section of the film is when we're introduced to Jack and Jill and they go to get a hotel room and the guy at the desk, he's like cowering because they're so scary. And he's like, oh, we don't have any rooms left. And they just literally kill a guy and are like, oh, yeah, well, we'll take his room. And it was like crazy violent and dark. And then it's just next scene is like cat dance fight. I was like, whoa. So whiplash.
We'll get to the dance fight for sure. But no, wait, this is I just think that's a thing in kids' films where, like, there's this weird thing when you're making stuff for kids where, like, more dark like that is almost like less dark, if that makes sense. Like, it's kind of less challenging for kids to believe that somebody just died and now they're getting a hotel room as opposed to I feel like in Shrek there'd be some sort of psychological abuse or something that would get them out, like, which is like more mature as a theme, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like, if you just think about like baddies in kids films, they're always like so over the top bad, and this sort of fits into that where it's just like they just kill people, that's their thing.
Yeah, I get that, but also like it's pretty violent.
Especially considering this wasn't really necessary.
Yes, exactly. I could have just
knowing the twist wasn't necessary.
Yeah, true. Jack and Jill, they never quite get their payoff as villains, do they?
No,
they do not.
Because
we'll talk about it more when we get there. I kind of feel like the last 30 minutes of the film got cut down to 5. Like, the last 5 minutes happened so rapidly and out of nowhere. Like, I almost feel that there was a whole, like, fourth act worth of stuff that just got trimmed at the last minute when they decided they had to make 90-minute runtime instead of 120.
And, hey, am I the only one who's, like, I thought that Jack and Jill were brother and sister, like, generally speaking.
Yes.
And I don't know if I just...
Oh, like, in the nursery room or in this?
Yeah, like, in the nursery room.
No,
like,
they are brother and sister.
Did I just assume that? Okay, right.
Penny was making the same comment as well. She was very upset that they had taken these brother and sister and turned them into husband and wife, presumably.
I mean, maybe they are brother and sister also. It's not like they say. they look pretty similar.
that's not child-friendly dark.
They look pretty similar. I do like the sort of like side thing of them just talking about having kids. I also did like that they took the little progressive where the you know, Jack really wants a baby and Jill's like, what? No. She's like, we've got careers.
Yeah. When again, like that touches on what Ruben was talking about. Like, that, it doesn't really feel like that goes anywhere, which is a shame. I would have liked to see where that ended up.
Yeah, they end up treating their pig like a baby and they're happy ever after.
But that's halfway through the movie. That's not like their ending.
But then, they come back and they're going to attack what we think at this point. They're going to attack Humpty, Kitty and Puss, and then they're at the end, kind of at the final fight for a bit, but they don't really do much. They're just kind of dealt with. I don't know. It kind of was a bit of a...
Yeah, they sort of forgot about them.
A bit, yeah.
After the twist, they just like forgot about them.
Yeah, they're part of that thing which makes me think there was an extra 20 to 30 minutes of script that got cut very late, and it was all from the when the goose arrives at the town.
Mm.
Hmm.
Anyway, back to, like, this whole action sequence leading up to the dance fight. very early on, we established that this is Puss in Boots because he does his signature flying through the air spinning thing.
Like the cartwheel thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just hilarious and has been right from his introduction in Shrek 2. But, like, why? Is still my question. It's funny every time, but I don't understand if it's a reference to something or, like, I tried Googling why does Puss in Boots spin through air and I didn't get any good hits.
Or is it just like now, is it just a reference to itself? Like, is it just funny because they just did it randomly in the first time he came on and now it's and just like, funny because it's funny. Just funny. Yeah.
Is still funny. So, like, it's a good call if that's all it is. Wait, they use it about 5 times in this film and it was funny every single time.
Oh, yeah, they use it way too many times. Like, I remember like the 5th or 6th time I was like, oh, God, we get it.
No, but then one time Kitty Softpaws did it too.
That was
funny.
So good.
So, and then obviously, yeah, you guys sort of touched on already, there's this dance scene where it's like, Puss goes to fight Kitty Softpaws before knowing who she is and then finds out that he's accidentally walked into a nightclub, so it has to turn into a dance fight.
A dance fight, which was genuinely, I found this dance fight very fun to watch.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is like the best scene to sort of exemplify just how this movie is having so much more fun than most of the other Shreks. Like, this is just stupid, but actually kind of fits the tone and helps establish it really strongly, where you're just like, oh, this is a movie where we will transition to dance fights halfway through a chase scene. Okay.
Straight after watching somebody get straight up murdered just walking out of their hotel room, we flick to two cats having a dance fight.
That dance
and they're doing the kitty litter at each other and doing the boot scoot.
That was so good.
It was really cute.
Yeah, the list of like dance moves that they had.
The only thing I didn't like about that scene was, I mean, the end. How much was it exactly like Pirates 3/4/5, where it was like, you're a woman? And I was exactly like, this right. just has not aged well. And that he immediately flicks from being like, from having a fight and smacking her on the face to being like, oh, we don't want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, so cringe.
And I don't know. I can respect the turnaround of finding out the first person you've ever met who can match your skills is of the gender you're attracted to, and so then just immediately switching to, okay, well, I'm interested in spending more time with you. I agree that because
it's so shameful, he's overly horny. But it's not like, whoa, I respect you so much. It's like, you're a woman. Women can fight. That's how I interpret it anyway. And then it's that's like, oh, fair. Wow, that's hot after that.
Yeah, okay.
But so, maybe I've got a chip on my shoulder.
I thought it was funny because it was one of those moments, and this is just what happens when you watch a kid's film, where it was like the second she appeared on screen, just the way the shot was framed, I was instantly like, well, that's the love interest. And then it's like 10 minutes later, they take her thing, like her face mask off, and it's like, oh, she's a woman. And it was like, oh, right, that was not meant to be clear.
Yeah. Didn't anybody find it weird? Like, so there's this whole big thing in this movie about like Puss and how he got his boots and all this stuff. But then we also have Kitty Softpaws, who also wears boots and a belt. And she's basically a very similar design to Puss, except she's just a girl. And it's like, I don't know.
Does she wear boots?
Jack and Jill look like siblings. These two are like the same design but gender reversed. I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, this is the other thing. Puss and Humpty are orphans, and so I was expecting to get some like twists about like, oh, this is who your parents are for either Puss or Humpty, and it never came up for either of them. I thought it was kind of strange.
I like that though. Like, you know, in a movie that for the most part does not challenge any tropey bullshit, I kind of like just the orphan thing seems only to be to sort of strengthen like their brotherness, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And also, I think to set up, there's a joke where Puss says he doesn't steal from orphans, and then like 5 minutes later, we find out he is an orphan. I was like, oh, okay. That was an unnecessary bit of setup.
I like that they also establish, I don't steal from church. It's like, oh, so noble.
Can we just take a moment to pause and talk about how good the cast in this movie is as well? Like, it's such a strong cast, weirdly so. Like, because looking back at Shrek 4 and 5, you can kind of tell that they didn't really bother with trying to get good cast anymore, especially in the fifth one.
No, I disagree. Didn't Shrek 4 have like a sick, like, it was like John Hamm was in it, Craig Bell. I'm looking at it now, Craig Robinson, Lake Bell.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Kathy Griffin, Kristen Schaal, John Cleese. Oh, he'd already been in it.
John Cleese had like one line.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they didn't. Yeah.
I think it was still a pretty. I suppose it was dipping more into SNL sort of things than A-list celebrities or whatever. But it was,
you know, they're talented, but I feel like it's not. They're not. You know.
It's not Salma Hayek and Zach Galifianakis. Yeah.
And you know, I feel like they really just went hard with this cast.
Yeah. Agreed.
Absolutely.
And it shows. I mean,
the quality really shows. Like this movie, is just really well put together.
I mean, Zach Galifianakis he's the voice of Humpty, right?
Humpty Alexander Dumpty.
Humpty Alexander Dumpty, and just the his whole design and the voice and everything. I was like, oh yeah, he's totally not the bad guy. Like the instant he came on screen, he was obviously the bad guy. He was so obviously bad. But also it was weird because they established him as the brains of the outfit. Like basically straight away it's like Humpty's the smart one. And then immediately he makes this maths error. He says, oh, it's been 5 years. He says it's been 7 years. Isn't that like 35 cat years? And I was like, isn't cat years seven? And 7 by 7 is 49. And I even went back and was like, did I miss here? But no, he gets some simple multiplication wrong. And it was just really weird.
I know dog years are 7. Maybe cat years are 5.
I don't know. That's a good point. What are cat years? Maybe I just don't know what cat years are. Cat years.
How old is my cat in human years? That is the opposite of what I want.
Cat years. 15 human years for young cats. This is so complicated.
Yeah, no, Georgia, there's a scale for this is what I'm finding. The first 2 years of a cat.
Yeah,
I can't do this. Let's just see. I'm going to leave that to Humpty.
Okay, so a 10-year-old cat in human years is 60.
So there's no way it's 35 then.
But then there's a 12, and 12 is 70, 14 is 80.
Okay, apparently, according to Cat Age Calculator, which is on coolconversion.com/pet/cat-age-calculator. 7 human years is 44 cat years. So Humpty was wrong.
So anyway, the point is, that's true. I just assumed it was meant to be 7. I have no idea what he was basing that off. Maybe he's even smarter than me. It sounds like maybe not.
We know Puss in Boots can live for hundreds of years. So could be anything.
Well, this one here is interesting because it says, 10 is 60, 12 is 70, 14 is 80, but then 16 is 84. Like cats just stop aging it. After they get to sort of 14, it just all slows down. So weird.
I'm beginning to think that there's not much merit to this whole cat years business.
I think it's maybe a load of bullshit.
No, it's very scientific. anyway, speaking of cat years, we get a flashback to the early years of Puss in Boots' life, revealing his past with Humpty. They grew up together as orphans before Puss got a bit too big for his boots and Humpty betrayed him.
Nice.
Very good.
I mean, baby Puss in Boots, just the model, was fucking adorable. I instantly fell in love with him. And it all leads up to the reveal that he can actually talk and he still has his adult voice, even as a cute little baby. It was hilarious.
That was so funny. And because it was like really, I can't remember what he was saying, but he was saying yeah, that's right. So it's like a really dramatic line as well. So he's like, yes. I and then he just goes, oh, you can talk.
It was so good. And the actual betrayal was so like, I don't know. I really cared about it in a way that I didn't expect.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of an absurdly tropey backstory, but it's just executed well enough that I found myself quite invested in the betrayal of that Humpty had done on Puss. I don't know. Like, nothing groundbreaking. This is all, I'm sure that I could probably think of like 100 other stories that use almost this exact same thing of two brothers, but one gets more successful and the other gets jealous and betrays them. But like, it works here because it's done well. And yeah, good on them.
And like, I really, I got to the end of it and, you know, and you could tell that the thing was coming where Kitty Softpaws was going to be asleep. But I just found myself thinking, I was like, how could she be asleep? Like, I was into that. Like, I was so invested. It was so, I was like really feeling for Puss. I was like, fuck you, Humpty. Like, why would you like drag him down with you like that? Yeah, you piece of shit. And then she's just like sleeping. But
anyway. Kitty was only pretending to be asleep because she couldn't handle finding out that actually Humpty was in the wrong and that this Petronella they were setting up was going to be very petty.
Well, this is too complex for me.
The same night of the dance fight too. So maybe she was just really pooped.
That was a tiring dance fight. Okay, so we find out that Humpty is just like obsessed with magic beans for an unknown reason. I really expected that to pay off for some reason. Here's what I was expecting. I was expecting Humpty to reveal at some point in the story that he actually thought that he was like descended from the golden goose or something. And then we kind of get that where maybe he was a golden egg the whole time that somehow like had a brain, and I guess that's why he was obsessed with the magic beans. It didn't really add up to me.
He does say very early in that flashback, because there's a moment where he's like, he's talking about the beans and he's like, I don't know why, but I've just always felt like I belong up on top of the beanstalk.
Yeah,
which is what seeds. Did he say that?
Yeah, he says that, which is what seeds that idea.
When they're lying under the tree, looking up before we know Puss can talk, Humpty's going, I just feel like I belong up there in the clouds.
Which is what seeds that idea that you think he's going to be of the goose.
Yeah.
And I agree. Like, I guess we'll talk about this is another one of those things where I'm like, it feels like the ending got crunched because we get this like blink and you'll miss it thing where it's like, I guess Humpty was got killed, but also got taken back home. It's bizarre.
It's very confusing. I just kind of stared at the screen and was like, I don't know how to feel. Anyway.
Puss didn't react like, oh, my friend is dead. Puss was kind of like, I always knew you were made of gold, and then just went on like that was it.
Yeah.
So I really didn't understand the emotional impact of Humpty's death.
Again, the ending had to have gotten crunched because it just makes zero sense how they executed it. It's so, and this is the whole like for last 15 minutes of the film, it just happened so absurdly quickly. It feels like they had a better version of that and they just didn't have time to fit it in the end.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
But I guess, like, jumping back to, like, this sort of, like, I guess Humpty Dumpty as a villain, because it's kind of random and doesn't really make sense. Like, you can tell they almost started with this Jack and the Beanstalk idea, and then they brought in all the adjacent nursery rhymes, like, oh, there's eggs, so we'll bring in Humpty Dumpty. Oh, there's a Jack, so we'll bring in Jack and Jill. And it doesn't quite reach those heights of like when Shrek 1 was so brilliantly like satirizing fairy tales as a concept, but it does a lot better than Shrek's 3 and 4, just like randomly grabbing fairy tale shit and doing interesting stuff with them. Like this is Humpty Dumpty is what I feel like they wanted Rumpelstiltskin to be.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Like Rumpelstiltskin in Shrek 4 just fell so flat and Humpty felt like the same concept but done good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Bean Gang is up to their heist. They steal the bean. This is the beans that they get their name from Jack and Jill.
It should be the Bean Team, right?
It's the Bean Club, because the first rule of the Bean Club is I don't even remember what the joke was.
Oh, that's right, the Bean Club.
Oh, it's, anyway, do you actually not remember what the joke is?
No, I don't.
Can't tell. What's the, there is no Bean Club.
Oh.
George, that, so you're not meant to talk about
it. It's not even a joke. That's just the thing.
No, that yeah, exactly. God. It's not very clever.
No wonder I don't remember it. I really enjoy it. This is one of the first like real like Kitty and Puss doing stuff together. And like, again, as like kind of simple and tropey as their relationship or whatever you want to call it is, it was just fun. Like, you know. A tale as old as time, but I enjoyed it.
Mm. Yeah. I like the line where he's, where Jack or Jill, can't remember which one, they look so similar, dangling Puss over the cliff and they go like, again, really cheesy line, like, is it true cats have 9 lives or always land on their feet or something? And he goes, no, it's just a rumor spread by dogs.
That was a great line.
Really funny. I thought that was really cute. Some good quality cat humor.
This movie gets just so much, like a surprising amount of mileage out of just making cat jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a lot of good ones. Like it really, pays off.
Oh yeah, like they're not really repeating that many of them. There's just like so much fucking cat culture.
Cats are funny.
Oh well, don't get.
Do you want to hear about my cats?
No, I'm sick of these two cats. I know I'm just going off on a massive tangent here, but like,
oh, I miss them.
This one, so one of my sister's cats here, Lexi. Has just taken a real shining to me, and I wish she'd fuck off. Like, I've started kicking her away, like, not like aggressively, but just like when she comes near me, I just like push her away with my foot, and she's into it. It's awful. Like, the more I push her away, the more she seems to just enjoy spending time with me. Cats are just sadistic. She's figured out how to open my bedroom door, so she just breaks into my room in the night and jumps on my bed.
But it's a classic cat move to, like, become obsessed with the one human who really doesn't want you around.
I hate her.
Just a classic cat move.
I hate her so much. See, Chadwick's great. Chadwick still doesn't enjoy being in the same room as me, and I respect it.
No, you don't. You constantly complain about it.
Well, it's just annoying because it does feel rude when he leaves as I enter.
It really pisses me off when you just go to like walk down the corridor and he runs away, so you're chasing him and you're like, I'm not a monster. Stop acting like I'm abusing you.
He acts like I killed his family in front of him 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. He's so funny.
Anyway, sorry, I promise that I just had to get that Lexi stuff off my chest. I wish you'd leave me alone.
Oh, one thing they do, one thing, just a cat thing, we'll get it out of the way while we're already on a big cat tangent, was, you know, when there's a scene where Kitty and Puss are kind of having a romantic, like, tussle in the clouds, they're like chasing each other around and they're like pouncing on each other, and they really, again, they must have watched so many cat videos, like the animators, because there's a bit where like Kitty does like this butt wiggle, which is just what cats always do just before they pounce, and it's so cute. And I was like, oh, they just really nailed it.
Yeah, I guess the job of the animators, because the animation in this film is very good, the job of the animators was probably just to watch a bunch of cat videos for a while. Yeah.
I sort of tangentially work with some animators, not obviously anywhere near the level of Pixar, but like we do animation at my work, and yeah, just some of the weird shit they have to do is kind of research for animations. Like we had to animate a guy falling off a ladder. So this animator's job for one day was basically to just watch every YouTube video he could find of people falling off ladders. And then none of them were good enough.
How many YouTube videos are there?
Oh, fucking loads. But like he didn't quite. He didn't quite get exactly the one he wanted. So, like, he ended up using, like, he just filmed himself on his backyard ladder and set up, like, his trampoline next to the ladder, and then was, like, just filmed himself falling off the ladder about 10 times, like, shook himself off the ladder. But, yeah, it's a weird job.
Yeah, that is weird. He was very committed.
He was, yeah. We ended up not being able to keep him on books because now he does AAA, like, PS5 games.
Now he falls off a ladder for Naughty Dog.
Exactly.
Well, he gets paid better for it too.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, the bean gang have their beans, so they grow them and find their way to the castle and a hoard of golden eggs. Good work, bean gang.
Yep.
the growing sequence.
That's pretty good summary.
The sequence of the beans growing. Like, again, the animation is so good on this, like, sequence of the beanstalk growing and kind of carrying them up, and it's a little bit of an action set piece, and it's, again, just, like, great animation.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, again, I would say, like, as we've established, this movie is very horny. Like, we've had a lot of scenes between Kitty and Puss, and then even the beanstalk, like, pushes them together. So they can have, like, more horny moments. And it's like, everybody needs to calm down. Like, even the Beanstalk is horny in this movie.
Georgia, the bean knows that they're OTP.
I know. I was like, oh, my God.
The bean actually is massive on Tumblr, and you don't want to cross the bean. It will send the people who read its Tumblr blog after you, so you should be quiet right now.
Oh, Tumblr people are pretty scary.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to lie. This like part on top of the Beanstalk was probably the weakest part of the movie to my mind.
I got really scared when they started doing the squeaky voices, because that's definitely how like air works. And it kind of went on for just that little bit too long where I was like, they're going to stop talking like this soon, right? Because this is getting really annoying.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is the thing, right? This thing on top of the clouds feels like it goes too long, but it almost felt like they felt obligated to have it go for a while because, you know, this is what Humpty and Puss have been dreaming of doing since they were children. But they kind of get up there and ultimately nothing actually happens. It still takes up a bunch of screen time, and then the finale is so rushed. I just kind of resent how much time this part of the story ends up taking, considering essentially nothing happens except the plan goes well.
Well, it was confusing because they got up there, right? Like, they grew the beanstalk, they got up into the clouds, and then they started, like, fully celebrating. And I was like, you just got in the front door. Like, you haven't even, like, gone and found a golden egg or even tried to steal it yet. Like, when they celebrated so prematurely.
Having then said it that, almost though, felt it weird.
Then it was like, oh, yeah, they haven't actually done anything yet.
It wasn't and
then you're
a
like, oh, here they go.
It wasn't a tough heist once they, like, getting in was clearly the hardest part. I don't know how they kind of knew it would be so easy, but it really was just like, get in, get the eggs, bada bing, bada boom, easy peasy.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole.
Well, they ran segment, away for a bit.
It's like this really big climactic moment in Humpty and Puss's journey, and it just really doesn't get used for anything. It just. Everything just sort of happens. Like, this part of the script could have literally been, and then they go in and they get the egg. The monster chases them a bit, but they get away. Like, I don't know that any more detail was actually in the original script than that.
Yeah. Was it always Humpty's plan to get the goose and not the eggs?
I think so.
Yeah, right. What would he have done if the goose was the size of the mother goose? It's just a lot of plot holes is all I'm saying, really.
Yeah, you're right. It is a bit strange. Yeah, I guess he just wanted to get revenge on the town, so the Mother Goose was like his mechanism for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, like, honestly, I think this scene would be a lot better if they did it Ocean's 11 heist style, where, like, it once they get to the top, when they're doing their squeaky voices, Humpty goes, okay, now here's the plan, and then we do, you know, the like, multiple frames as, like, he's explaining it as it's happening. I reckon that just would have been a cooler way to do the exact same scene, but at least
yeah,
it would have
that's
been
true.
Moderately interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, great.
But also, was, I guess that would have highlighted just the fact that nothing went wrong with the plan, which is like a crucial part of a heist movie, is that the plan does not go according to plan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, yeah. So they steal this golden gosling and they make a daring escape being pursued by some kind of horrible monster, which is clearly a goose. And it's not in any way secret.
That's another one of those, oh, yeah, this is a children's movie, okay, fine, sort of moments. But yeah, the second we saw it, I was like, oh, that's the mum goose. Okay.
Exactly. To be fair, they almost got me in that I was like, because it was they were treating it as so mysterious, but it seemed to me so obvious that it was the mother goose that I started to wonder, maybe they're going to, like, subvert my expectation and it's actually going to be something totally different. And I was like, oh, no, it's just a mum goose.
I did, just like, overthinking it. It was effectively a dragon, right? Like, that's the vibes that they were giving off with it. I'm really sad there was never a scene where this big goose breathed fire. I thought it would have been fucking hilarious.
They could have had a weird joke that referenced dragon from, like, Shrek 2. Like, I don't
like
know.
Like her and Humpty.
Well, what if there are just a bunch of donkeys around? I don't know. the gosling needs a father.
And it's just a talking donkey?
I don't know. Well, wait, no. Well, it's got to be a slightly different animal, right? Like, dragon is to goose as donkey is to mouse.
Puss in
talking
boots?
Mouse.
Oh,
I feel like a flying insect. That's my first thought. Don't know why.
Maybe you know what's weird is we're trying to add horny into this movie.
Yeah, it didn't need it. There's already so much.
You know what we haven't talked about yet, which is criminal? Humpty's golden egg suit that he's wearing this entire heist. I fucking loved it.
And it's sort of refuses to take off for like some time.
Despite it being the closest they come to having something go wrong with this whole shindig is that like the spandex is rubbing on him and squeaking.
I like when he's putting it on and oh, you're not wearing any underwear. I'm not sorry. Doesn't bother me. Does it bother you? What a weird joke to put in there.
So yeah, the Bean Gang is ambushed by Jack and Jill, but Puss is unaware that it's all a setup. He goes to rescue Kitty and Humpty in San Ricardo, only to be betrayed, arrested, and locked up.
Yeah, it's a neat twist.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, there were subtle hints that Humpty was not, in fact, good before this. But, like, I don't know, the twist still worked.
Yeah. Again, like
because they built solid it up execution. And so you didn't know when he was going to, when or how he was going to turn and what exactly his goal was.
Yeah, I think a good kids movie like this, like just one that's straight up for kids, I'd argue Shrek is like sort of operating on two levels, whereas this one is like just a kids film. And I think they can still work when they're just doing tropey kid shit, but like doing it solidly. And I think that's like what this one's done.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the funniest part was the flashback of when Humpty reveals that he was always there throughout the entire movie. We get a bunch of nonsensical little flashback moments, including one where Humpty's throwing birdseed on Puss to get the vultures to go in and annoy him, which is so fucking good.
I really liked the one where he was down at the cat dancing dressed as a cat, but and all the cats are like looking happy and he just is looking really creepy and so serious. Good.
This felt like the closest thing to the what had become obligatory like gingy joke scene in the later Shrek films, where there's always one scene where we get like crazy gingy flashbacks. This was that, where it was just a bunch of nonsense where he was just everywhere for no reason.
Also, the first one was him like he was there when Puss had sex with that cat at the start. And it was sort of quite heavily implied that he was watching Puss have sex, which was just really weird.
Yeah, classic.
Oh, such a good scene.
Why were all the villagers in San Ricardo willing to go along with this plan? Or is the bit
Money?
Because Humpty had left them very impoverished, remember. He cleared out their whole bank and then threw it over the bridge. So I think they were poor as fuck. And so that was maybe why they agreed to it, because they were very desperate.
So there was this like town guard kind of character, the captain of the guard or whatever. Yeah. And he was clearly very like, you know, lawful good type of character. And so it was very strange to me that he was just kind of like willing to go along with Humpty's plan.
That's true.
I didn't quite understand it.
I don't know exactly how much all of the village was in on the specifically betrayed Puss thing. I don't know. It doesn't make sense, really, is the answer to me, I think.
Don't think about it too much.
So this was the point where I was also just like Googling shit while in the movie. And did you guys know like Puss in Boots has like a spin-off show on Netflix?
I think we mentioned it last time.
Yeah, I think we discussed it, but I never really looked into anything about it.
Neither. Yeah, because I was like at one point I was like, oh, maybe I have time to fit it in. But it's got 77 30-minute episodes, so I did not do that to myself.
How has it had so much, so many episodes?
This is the thing I realized, right? The show runs for 30 hours. There's 30 hours of content in the show, including one of those Netflix specials where, like the Black Mirror one, where you decide what happens.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
In fact, that's it was pretty before Black Mirror. It was the first one of their interactive specials. They did Puss in Boots first for some reason.
Wow.
No, because you want to, if you're going to trial that, you're going to do it something that's not super important, right? Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, and I think you know, they'd been churning out like 70 of the, because the show only went for 3 years. So they aired, it was 2015 to 2018, and they did 77 episodes.
Oh, yeah, gee, they really vomited those out.
Yeah, and Hannah, my sister and I, we watched like 5 minutes of one. We like went into a random season and then a random episode. The difference in budget definitely shows in just the animation. Like you could see there were less frames. Everything just looked worse. The texturing was terrible. It was very much like shovelware for kids sort of vibes.
Which does make a difference when your main character is covered in fur, especially.
Yeah, like yeah. Animation.
Is it Antonio Banderas?
No, of course not.
Okay. So it's somebody doing an Antonio Banderas impression. Yeah. I always find that so interesting.
And there's no Kitty Softpaws in it either, despite it happening after.
But that's clearly what... So what's it about?
I'm not...
That's the only character I would have expected to be in it.
Yeah, yeah. So the bit we were watching, Puss seemed to have been contracted to defend a small Spanish town from, I want to call them pig ninjas.
Spanish?
Mexican? I don't know. It doesn't really make sense if this is in Mexico because the rest of Shrek is very European. And I think Puss in Boots is originally Spanish. I think I think like southern Spain, maybe. I think Puss in Boots maybe just confuses Spanish with Mexican because they're in California.
So here's something. So I just watched the trailer for the
Film is set in South America or Central America, surely.
I just watched the trailer for The Adventures of Puss in Boots just then. And obviously, so first of all, in the first 5 seconds, they do one, the puppet spin thing, and two, the same joke about how Puss drinks milk from a cup with like the tongue lapping thing. So clearly they just stole all the jokes from this. But then also the tagline for this show is The Adventures of Puss in Boots, Secrets Will Be Revealed. What do you all think that means? What are the secrets that get revealed in this?
I don't know. I mean, look, this is very much like, I don't know, I almost feel bad kind of ragging on this show because this is very clearly just straight up like nobody over the age of 5 is meant to watch this. This is something Netflix put together so that parents can put it on while they're like cooking dinner and their kids will shut up for 5 minutes.
Danny Trejo is a recurring character in this.
Of course he is. He's in so much shit. Like remember when he was in The Flash?
No, Danny Trejo was in The Flash?
Yeah, he was a recurring character for one of the seasons of The Flash, like season 3 or something.
The New York Times Times gave a review of The Adventures of Puss in Boots, a positive review. Here's a quote from it on the Wikipedia page. They praised the humor, saying that it was relatively sophisticated. You could write a psychological treatise on Dulcinea, who has modelled her life on a somewhat vacuous book of epigrams, but not so sophisticated that children will be left behind, which is a really glowing review of this show.
That is not the few minutes that I watched to not reflect that review, but maybe I chose a poor sample. There was a lot of animals in this one. Like this, like the world of The Adventures of Puss in Boots is much more just one where all animals can sort of like talk Like, there was a pig with lots of piercings, and I think he threw axes. There were the aforementioned, like, porky ninjas. I know. What was funny to me, though, is, like, really, this show runs for 30 hours. All of the movies combined only run for 7.5. So, technically, The Adventures of Puss in Boots represents the majority of the franchise in terms of what is canon and what builds lore. So, we should be focusing on it if we want to talk about the true lore of Shrek.
The series is set before the events of the Puss in Boots film.
Oh, okay. That makes some sense. I'm on the wiki page for him. One of Puss's listed powers in the show is can change his personality very easily.
What does that mean?
That's one of his powers. He can change his personality very easily.
It's like, what does that even mean?
You sound frustrated, Georgia.
It's just, I don't know.
So I'm also, like, Puss has just an absolute fuckload of aliases on his thing as well. And I'm going
like,
through
people just write anything on these wikis. Like, I think that's what I'm like, having been through all the Star Wars, you can just, people just write whatever the fuck on there.
No, but, like,
the Angry Birds one, remember that? That got out of control. It was ridiculous.
This is my favorite part of, like, stupid wikis like this is when they fill the aliases segment up with every stupid nickname they got called once at any point ever.
Yes.
And like so many of these wikis do it, and I love it. Mm. Like, so in this one, going through it here, there is an episode of The Adventures of Puss in Boots where the ugly duckling features, and the ugly duckling calls him Poop in Boots. That's made the wiki. Oh, there's a comment on the ugly duckling's page here. Anonymous user writes, "Duckling looks like the golden gosling from the Puss in Boots 2011 film. Let's hope Humpty never meets her, or he might fall in love with her."
Right.
Hmm. Weird. Okay.
Imagine, anyway. I don't know what to say to that.
There's a character here who is described as fond of caves and lazy. Sorry, fond of caves and extremely lazy. He is arrogant, Snorlax? Narcissistic, selfish, stealing, and bad. This is a direct quote from his description. He is arrogant, narcissistic, selfish, stealing, and bad.
That's just grammatically. Who's the character?
His name's Jack Spratt.
Oh, another Jack.
I've got a picture of him here in the doc.
Right. More looks Jacks. Like... We didn't have enough Jacks was the problem.
Not enough.
Do you want to hear a little bit?
0 out of 5, not enough Jacks.
That's... Do you want to hear a little bit about Puss in Boots? Like the OG Puss in Boots. So he's not, in fact, Spanish. He's Italian, written by Giovanni Straparola in like the sort of 1500s. Yeah, and basically he uses trickery to give wealth to his owners. And then he was sort of taken over by the French in about 100 years later. And he even appears in an act of Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty in the third act. He's actually a character in Sleeping Beauty.
That's weird.
In Tchaikovsky's ballet. So now I'm going to be looking up YouTube videos of Puss in Boots in ballet. YouTube. So, I mean,
okay, but like he's definitely much more Spanish/Latino in Shrek, at least. Like Antonio Banderas is a Spanish actor.
No, like, he's Italian. He's not. Yep. Puss in Boots in the Royal Ballet. My first ballet, Sleeping Beauty, Puss in Boots. It just sounds wild. I guess when you know him as like a Shrek character.
I think the only ballet I've ever watched is that home video of you and Hannah in a ballet from when you were like 4.
Where I just keep face planting.
Yeah, and you just kept face planting, and then you realized everyone thought it was funny, so you started doing it on purpose.
No, I think that's classic. Fell over again.
No, there's one you definitely do it on purpose, I remember. You look at the crowd just before you do it.
I thought I'd look at the crowd afterwards and was like, oh, shucks. I don't remember it.
But so anyway, the final part of this film, you know, there's a fight. Humpty Dumpty rekindles his relationship with Puss and they defeat the Mama Goose and everything ends up happily ever after, I guess.
Yeah.
The end. So after, I really didn't like Humpty for this film. I thought, this is a shit guy. And then, like, after his death, you're just like, this egg had such a tragic life. Like, he just spent his whole life feeling out of place. He just felt like he belonged elsewhere. And then every time he tried to, like, get there, he just couldn't. And then the one person who was going to help him, he felt like betrayed him. And then he ends up falling off a wall and getting smashed. And then he's a gold egg underneath but is no longer sentient and maybe goes home but also it's like,
so weird.
I don't know, is he dead? Like, I just ended up feeling like really upset. I was what is this?
So to add on top of like that, because I've already talked about how that fits into my theory that they cut like the last 20 minutes of this film. I also just think this whole segment where Humpty gets like redeemed felt way too quick and like unearned. Like, because he's still a bad guy. He locks Puss up. Puss escapes, makes it to the top of the tower and basically says, hey, nah. And Humpty goes, oh, yeah, nah. And then they're suddenly like bros again. I don't know. Humpty barely even sacrifices himself to save the town. Like, I don't know. The way Puss and the other characters got back on his side was just a bit, even for a kid's film, just felt like too quick and easy.
Yeah, very quickly resolved, isn't it?
Again, I feel like there's a version where there's a bit more effort put into Humpty, like escaping and then deciding to come back or something.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Like, yeah, I don't know, this was the only part of Humpty that didn't work for me. I thought the backstory was great. I really liked the betrayal, and then the redemption was just sort of like, oh, and now it's over and he's dead and a giant gold egg. Okay.
I think it almost felt like the only moment he should have, like, turned and, like, he was so dogmatic. I would have thought maybe when, you know, when he was dangling over the edge and Puss was going to, like, sacrifice everything for him, that would be the only moment where he'd suddenly be like, oh, my God, I'm going to
die. Yeah,
like, it just felt – the moment that they chose, it was just kind of basically Puss was just like, yeah, but now, like, you're good. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe I am. Yeah. And it was like, what?
It didn't really feel justified from his perspective that he turned around. You're right. My problem is less that everyone else gave in and suddenly accepted him again. It was more that it didn't feel like there was a reason for him to turn around.
Yeah.
And what you're describing would be that.
Yeah, like the stakes weren't high enough in that moment where he turned back. It just, and yeah. Especially as he'd been like so dogmatic.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, still, I mean, you know, it's fine. They had to do the thing. Like Humpty had to get redeemed. It's a kid's movie. They couldn't just have him get cracked while still a piece of shit. So I can't criticize it too much because even if they couldn't figure out a good way to do it, they sort of had to.
Yeah, they had to. You kind of saw that it had to happen. I don't know. I don't know whether we could expect more from a Puss in Boots spin-off movie, but it was good. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of disappointing because I was really into it, and then there are a few things like this at the end where you're right. Like, the fact that it was so rushed just made it feel very rote.
And, yeah, I think we could have expected more from a Puss in Boots movie because we were getting it up until this point. Like, the first two-thirds of the movie is actually pretty good. My issues with the Beanstalk segment are mostly just on, like, they feel minor compared to this. Like, that, you know, it was a bit slow, but I love Pirates of the Caribbean, and every one of those had 45 minutes I could chop out, no worries. Like, you know, I'm not going to dislike a movie because it's got a part that I think is slow and pointless, but the ending just falls flat.
Yeah, it's a shame. Kind of, like, yeah, it, like, takes a downward turn. But it ends on a horny note, of course, with lots of suggestion between Puss and Kitty.
But then they never meet again, not even in Puss in Boots' own show. Tragic.
Do they meet again in Puss in Boots 2?
Didn't we say that was happening at one point?
Yeah, I think it's coming out soon.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. I forgot about that.
Coming out this year. It does not have...
It's just 2022. Chris Miller's directing it again, which is a good.
Oh my God, do you want to hear the like little spiel for the plot on IMDb?
Yeah.
Very good. Puss in Boots discovers that his passion for adventure has taken its toll. He's burned through 8 of his 9 lives. He sets out on an epic journey to find the mystical last wish and restore his 9 lives. This is Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, Georgia, what are you talking about? This is Doctor Who. This is Doctor Who getting the regenerations back.
But it's also Jack Sparrow going to look for the Fountain of Youth.
I mean, wait, honestly, like the Pirates of the Caribbean films were also swashbucklers. Like this film was a swashbuckler. I think there's a reason they keep overlapping. It's because they are sort of playing in the same genre.
Oh, there is also, what is this, some sort of video. I don't know where. I think it's like Scared Shrekless and stuff, where it's like some little like mini movie.
Oh, are you talking about the Three Diablos?
Yeah.
No, that's part of the show.
Oh, okay. Because there's three little kitties.
Yeah, they're evil, like, but then they turn good. I was reading about that this afternoon.
But I think they're also not, because I was like, are these Puss in Boots kids or not?
No, they're
not. But they are sleeping in his boots, and it looks pretty cute. Oh, they're so cute. Oh,
man, they're showing me.
Oh, they're shackled up in that picture. That's so cute.
IMDb showing me the thing for the Mario movie, and like, I still can't get over the cast of the Mario movie.
Isn't it so weird?
It's pretty crazy. I know
that's like old news by now, especially if people are listening to this on the 6-month delay. The movie's probably out at this point. But like,
and it'll all be explained. It'll all make sense by the time this comes out. this all makes sense.
Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, though, is just so good. That's just
Charlie Day as Luigi.
That's also
so perfect.
Like, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. It's actually like, oh shit, he was born to play Donkey Kong.
Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. It's just so good.
Jack Black as Wario also. Like,
no, honestly, no, he's with Bowser. Bowser. Mine says sorry, Bowser. Who's Wario? Yeah, Wario has to be in this. Wario?
If there's no Waluigi, this is a 0 out of 10 movie.
Wait.
Sorry. I feel like Charles Martinet is going to be doing Wario voice. I don't think anyone other than Charles Martinet can do Wario.
He's listed as like a cast member.
Yeah.
Incredibly good.
I still like every now and then go back and watch the video of Donkey reacting to that cast reveal because it's just the best encapsulation of how it felt to be in that moment where you just progressively lose your mind as more weirdly perfect but totally inappropriate A-list celebrities Mario movie.
I cannot picture how this can be. Like, what is this movie going to be? I just have no idea.
A lot of me just mourns the fact that it's animated, though. I want Jack Black playing Bowser live action. Not Seth Rogen in a monkey outfit as Donkey Kong.
I don't know this gentleman who's playing Toad, but, you know, because as Elliot knows, I'm very good at Toad voice. Is he going to be better than me? They didn't even ask me. Who's Kamek?
The little blue wizard guy rides around on a broom.
Oh, right. Okay. The guy who turns up every time I die.
In Yoshi's Story, yes. Georgia, the guy playing Toad is Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, I can see the name. I don't know him. I don't think.
Keegan Peele.
I don't know what that is.
George, I know who you know, what you'll know from. He was the host of Family Feud and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, true.
That would be so far down on his IMDb profile, though.
I just can't believe they've chosen Cranky Kong to appear in this. So good.
It's an Anya Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach. It's just so weird. It's so fucking weird. I hate that Chris Pratt is in this movie because he's the one person that's preventing me from fully just going off the deep end.
Yeah, but also Mario is such a boring, flat character in a way. Pratt is perfect. Mario sucks.
Yeah, he's literally going to be like his character from the Lego movie.
That's what Mario deserves. Mario is the weakest part of Mario, and I hope this movie acknowledges that. In fact, the fact that they've got Cranky Kong, because I think technically Cranky Kong is the Donkey Kong from the old arcade games where Donkey Kong was the baddie.
Mm.
And then he aged out and had the new Donkey Kong, who's the one who's like the ally of Mario. So the fact that they're going to have Cranky Kong, like, hopefully, I hope they're actually going to dive into like the whole Mario's a piece of shit. Yeah, I want them to lean into the angle of Mario's kind of a piece of shit.
Yes. Oh, if Mario's the villain, that would be so good.
But here's the other thing. That would be very good.
Chris Pratt is 42 and Anya Taylor-Joy is like 25. And I just don't.
Even
the idea of them being the romantic pairing in this movie just makes me so deeply uncomfortable.
I hope they go with the whole, like, especially Super Mario Odyssey really established that Mario is super keen on Peach and she doesn't really reciprocate.
Yes.
And I want that vibe to exist in this movie because it was joyful in Super Mario Odyssey and really applies for this film.
Yeah.
Especially because Bowser was in on it too. Like, the scenes in Super Mario Odyssey where Bowser and Mario were fighting over Peach and then she was just like, I don't want either of you. It was fantastic. Like, stop kidnapping and rescuing me. I don't like you guys. Sorry, that's the Mario movie cast analysis that's 6 months late.
Yeah. Soon to be 1 year late.
Well, that's that, I guess.
We'll be back in a month for a very surprising interlude, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dreading this, but also very excited for it. Does that make sense?
I can't remember what we decided on. I have a terrible memory.
Georgia, you were traveling here for it in a week.
Yeah, it's next week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's why I don't remember, because I was thinking we'd agreed on some kind of movie. Oh, yes. No, this is going to be very good.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
I still don't know what to expect.
No, me either. So for context to anybody listening, Ruben and Georgia are traveling here. We're all going to go see it together in person, which is fun. But also scary and weird.
Mm. There's a pizza party involved, though.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Yeah, we'll review the pizza party as well.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, look forward to that. Hopefully that's enough teaser for next month. It's going to be a wild time.
Hopefully.
But not too wild.
Hopefully not too wild, yeah. There's a very fine line of wildness which we're aiming for here.
So thanks for being patrons. If you're listening to this, the day after we recorded it, when it's coming out on Patreon, if you're listening to it 6 months later, thank you for listening, but also consider becoming a Patreon. You would have gotten this Mario cast analysis slightly less belatedly. And that's what people come here for, I assume.
What else would it be? God knows. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. So as we always say, bye, listeners.
Get out of our swamp.
Hey, we did it.
I said it that not time. Bad. Are you proud of me, Elliot?
Yeah, that was the last one, and it was the first time all three of us have done all of the outro.
Yeah.
What do you mean the last one? Didn't we just say we were coming back in a month?
Oh, no, but like the last Shrek one.
Talk about Shrek.
Oh, okay. It's like...
Georgia, we're finally free from Shrek. I think we'll come back to do Puss in Boots too, but overall we're free.
Yeah, this is true.
Now, me, all way now.